Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So one day, as the whole family was gathering around, Jim's 8-year-old grandson decided to make a huge announcement. He said, "Grandpa, you treat Grandma like a queen." And very proudly, Jim puffed out his chest, took a deep breath, and responded to his grandson, "Well, if I treat her like a queen, what does that make me?" And his grandson looked at him and said, "Her servant." Today is Christ the King Sunday. And perhaps the best question for us to ask is, who's the king of your house? Who's the king of your castle? Or even bigger than that, who is the king of your heart and the king of your life? Just 2 months ago, the Queen of Great Britain, Queen Elizabeth, passed away. And it was headline news for 2 straight weeks. And it seemed kind of weird to us here in the United States. My kids had lots of questions like, what does a real king or a real queen actually do? Because here in America, politically, we don't have a king or a queen. But while the political concept may be foreign to us in terms of living under something like a king or queen, we do understand, though, what it means to live in a kingdom. Because there's all kinds of forces and ideas, people and concepts that try to exert their rule and reign over us all the time. And so we understand that concept of who is the king in your heart or your life. Today we are also wrapping up our series, Endings That Lead to Beginnings. And we've seen over the last 2 weeks how God takes all of our endings here in this life and he brings about new beginnings for us in and through Jesus Christ. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Tim shared with us on All Saints Day that though we die, yet we shall live, because God takes our endings and brings about new beginnings. Last weekend, Pastor Adam shared with us that we are weird people. Weird people because we are people of hope. Hope that all these endings we are seeing in this world result in a guaranteed beginning in Jesus Christ. And this weekend, we celebrate Christ the King, which from a church standpoint marks the end of a season. It's the literal end of the church year. And we celebrate that Christ is our King over all things and that his kingdom lasts forever. And it leads us into the season of Advent when we begin to anticipate and celebrate the birth of Jesus, our King. But closing out our series today leads us, as Adam said earlier, back to that Colossians chapter 1 verse. And if you grab your bulletin and you open it up, I want to take us back through that text, the italicized part, one more time, because it's in these verses that for us today, Paul gives us two realities. He says that there's one reality, the kingdom of light, and there's a second reality in which you might live, and that is the dominion of darkness. So let's listen to those verses one more time. "And giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light." There it is. That's one kingdom. "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness." There's the other kingdom. "And brought us into the kingdom of his son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." So two kingdoms. And what Paul lays out is that between these two kingdoms, you are either in this one, the kingdom of light, or you are in this one, the dominion of darkness. There's no in between. There's no dusk and dawn kingdoms. You cannot put one foot in the kingdom of light and the other foot way over here in the kingdom of darkness. It doesn't work that way. It's an either or reality. And the kingdom in which you live is determined by who your king is. If the king of your life is anything other than Jesus, then you are living in the dominion or kingdom of darkness. And so I ask one more time, which kingdom are you in? Which kingdom are you in? This weekend, you're going to find in your pews our annual report on ministry. They're at the end there on both sides. And we want to encourage you to pick one of those up and take it with you. In this report, you're going to find a number of stories of how God has transformed lives and how he has grown his kingdom through the ministry of St. Peter's. But as we talk about this idea, this concept of which kingdom do you live in, I want to share with you a quick glimpse of one of the stories contained in that report. It's the story of a man named Bob. And when you read Bob's story, you're going to see and feel that not all of his life was lived in this kingdom of light. In fact, it feels as though much of it was lived under this dominion of darkness. Now, there's many things unique to Bob's story that you'll pick up, but I'll tell you what, there's one thing that all of us, you, me, and Bob, have in common. At one time or another, all of us has lived under that dominion and rule of darkness, or at very least have felt its effects on us and our loved ones. The dominion of darkness is weird because it makes us feel lost. It makes us feel like we have no purpose, no place, no fit or belong in life. It's like grappling around in the dark, trying to figure things out, and it's just so hard. And the reality of living in this darkness is that we actually get used to it. Have you ever been out into the forest and just at the middle of the night and just spent some time there, giving yourself 15 minutes in the real dark to allow your eyes to adjust? It's almost like suddenly you can begin to see things. But the problem is, it's all still shrouded in blacks and grays and those darkness shadows. And though we can make our way around and we might get used to it, it lacks all the life and vibrancy and color that should be in our lives. Now, for every one of us who lives or has lived in that darkness, Paul tells us that there is a rescue that comes through Jesus Christ. Christ comes to us and he does something that no king would ever do. He leaves the throne of glory in heaven and he steps down into our darkness to push back that dominion and to begin to shine his light. And he does it this way. He brings his kingdom into contact with whoever and whomever he connects with. And that light of Christ begins to shine in their hearts. For every story that you are going to read about in our annual report, it is the story of God's kingdom coming into contact with people's lives and the joy that they experience. Because Christ has shined his light into their lives. Like I said, Jesus stepped down into the darkness of this world, leaving the throne of glory, and he did what no king did has ever done for us. He became like us. He became one of us, literally taking on the very flesh and blood of humanity so that he could come and experience life with us. And in that life, he came to know and fully experience and understand our struggles and our sin. For as he went to that cross on Calvary's Hill, he carried with him the weight of the world's sin. He who knew no sin took on sin for us. And what that means is that in Jesus, we have a king. A King of kings and a Lord of lords who understands our struggles every single day of our lives. He understands what it's like when you hit the end of your rope and you're sitting on the floor in your bedroom nearly to tears because you have no idea how you're going to be able to move forward. You have a King in Jesus who gets it and understands it. And he entered into this world so that he could sit there right with you, so that you would never be alone. It's the promise that he gave to the children today in their baptisms, that I will be with you always to the very end of the age. It's what the author of the book of Hebrews describes for us in chapter 4 when he writes these words. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, and yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You see, Jesus gets the struggle that you go through every day. He gets what it's like to fight temptation. He understands the pain that sin brings into our lives because he lived it. But I want to tell you, Jesus didn't come just to sit with us in our sin so that we wouldn't be alone. You see, this King of Kings and Lord of Lords came down to be with us, but he came down to do something about the darkness. He came to conquer that darkness. And unlike us, where we falter and where we fail and where we lack faith, where we sin, Jesus, being tempted in every way, remained without sin, so that when he went to the cross, he conquered sin and death and the devil. And when he rose from the dead, he conquered the grave so that you and I would not have to fear those things anymore. That all of our endings would become new beginnings in Jesus Christ. Guys, Jesus is our King. He is the firstborn from among the dead, the beginning of life. For every single person who wants it here today, he offers it freely to you. This is the good news in the gospel of our Lord. You see, when Jesus comes, it is the end of our darkness, and it is the beginning of his kingdom in our lives. And wherever Jesus goes, his kingdom goes with him. And our endings become new beginnings, and we can approach the throne of God with confidence that when we come to him, we will find the mercy and the grace that we need for life. This is the heart of every story contained in that ministry report this weekend. And when we are brought into God's kingdom, something happens to us. We are transformed. And we become servants. Servants of the Most High God. Servants of our King of Kings. That we would stand side by side with Christ on his mission to push back the darkness and to defeat sin and death. And we do it not with weapons of warfare or hatred or violence. We do it with the power of God's word. We push back the darkness with the power of God's word. And here at St. Peter's, our congregation, guys, it stands as an outpost, a beacon of light and hope to the world. It is a place where the word of God is heard, where the word of God is shared, and where the word of God is lived out through you. St. Peter stands as a beacon of hope and of new beginnings for people like Bob, for people like Chad, who is looking forward to becoming a leader in God's kingdom. For kids like Hudson and Carson and Jonah and Gabriella, who were baptized at VBS. For kids like Everett and Maris and Ari, all baptized here this weekend. St. Peter's stands as a beacon and hope through our school for every student and every family that steps foot on this campus. You see, this is where God is winning battles every day in people's lives. It's happening in our community, in our congregation, and I pray that you see it happening every day of your life as you lean on Jesus. Our King has blessed us with an incredible year of ministry in which he's done amazing things. He has brought us new staff, new volunteers. He's revitalizing ministries from the past and starting new ones. We've seen a record enrollment of new students in our school this year. And we have embraced an intentional discipleship in our classrooms through our amazing teachers that has resulted in baptisms just this last Wednesday in chapel and throughout the year. Kids' lives and their families are being transformed. We've seen individual areas of ministry, such as youth and children, become touch points for that life transformation, where kids are being baptized, brought into the kingdom, and brought into a deep and living relationship with Jesus Christ. And the amazing thing is, guys, when the kids are brought in, it has an effect on the whole family, and you just see it. You see it in the family. And we continue our long-held commitment to supporting missions locally and globally as we give 10% of our annual budget to making those missions happen. Guys, St. Peter stands as a beacon of light and hope to the world. And in our annual report, you're going to see that there are new and engaging ways to do what we're calling fuel the mission. Ways to come alongside of us and help make mission happen through projects like worship enhancements, through projects like community outreach and engagement that connects us to the broader community of Columbus, Indiana, through making our school one of the safest places for children, that when they are dropped off, their moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas can have the absolute assurity that their children are safe with us on this campus. In this last year, we came to the end of a ministry era. But as we've seen over the last 3 weeks, God loves to take our endings and bring about new beginnings. And God is leading us forward. We step forward next week into a new church year, soon into a new calendar year. And as we do that, we look ahead to a new vision for 2028. We're excited about what God is doing here, and I hope you are too. This Christmas, we come together to look at the unexpected gifts that God gives us through Christ. And I want to put this in front of you. If you come to any one of our four services here at St. Peter's and you look around, I can almost guarantee you that there is someone missing that was here before the pandemic. And I want to put this in front of you, that this is the year that if you know that someone is not or no longer coming to St. Peter's, I want you to intentionally reach out to them and invite them to come back for Christmas Eve. Come and celebrate the birth of Christ and see what unexpected things could happen in our lives because of Jesus. This is a year to invite them. This is a year to bring them back. We have four full services and one new one. It's at 4 p.m. It is a full service designed for kids and for their young families. Come and be a part of what God is doing here at St. Peter's. I hope that this morning you'll take one of our annual reports and that you'll take it home. You'll read through those stories. Continue to pray for those individuals that are contained in those stories as they need your prayers as they continue to move forward. But I hope that you'll look at that one page where it says, how can we fuel the mission? And I want to invite you to join in partnership with us in making some of those projects happen for the glory of God and for the glory of our King. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, it is good to be in your house. And it is so humbling to know that we can come and approach your throne of glory and your throne of grace with confidence. Because in Jesus Christ, we have been given full, unfettered access. For he brought your kingdom to us. And through his death and his resurrection, he conquered death. And he turned all of our endings, Lord, into new beginnings. Father, continue to work in and amongst us at our congregation and in our lives. That everything that is said, everything that is done, everything in this ministry would be to your glory. And that it would proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ into the hearts and lives of people. Make this place a place where everyone is welcome. Where everyone feels loved and safe because they have entered into your kingdom of light. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.